What year?
It would probably have been around 1960.
I wasn't there.
You wasn't there? Okay.
Hi, guys. My name is Joe Waugh. It's W-A-U-G-H. Now, I've got a problem this morning. The reason I ask him when he came to the home, because I came to the home in 1966. I was 3 years old. Unfortunately, the class ends at 10:15. I can talk forever, because it's my whole life. You cannot ask me a question about Tipton Home that I don't know the answer. Now, I don't know a clue about electricity, plumbing, or how a car works. I don't want to come off as a know-it-all, but I do know about Tipton Children's Home. And so I kind of ramble on, don't know where to start, don't know where to end sometimes. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you think that your actions, your decisions, the things you choose to do, do you think they make a difference? Oh, you could say, sure, Joe, the things I choose to put in my mouth, that's my nutrition, they make a difference. The choices I make to help here or to help here, well, yeah, I mean, I brought a can of food. That helps feed that person for that day. I sent a card of encouragement here. I did this over there, and I did. Well, yeah, they help in the immediate, right? I mean, we know that. I helped change a flat on the way here. I didn't, but I'm just using an example. Yeah, it helps them get on the road. And you see, our mindset is that what we choose and what we think about our choices are immediate and in the present and in the moment. Are they? Yes, they are. Amen. Sure they are. You chose to be here this morning. Okay? What difference does that make long term? See, today it encourages you and gets you fed some spiritual, hopefully something spiritually today. I won't mention the home. I am preaching. Okay, good. I won't mention that in my sermon. So hopefully we can feed spiritually. Now here's my point. In 1920, Canadian, Texas, a couple by the name of Brother and Sister H.B. Beach went into the elders at the church in Canadian, Texas, said, hey, if we've got any orphans, we want to take them into our home. That time they had 6 orphans, and they took them into their home. Okay. 6 months later, they went to the others and said, we've got to do something different. We can't do this anymore. They had over 30 kids. So they moved into an old Baptist reformatory. Now, remember, it's 1920. It was condemned when they moved into it. That doesn't work today. you can't move into a condemned building. 1923, the 22, 23, they're getting pressure put on them by the leaders of Canadian, Texas, and saying, you've got to get these kids out of here. This place isn't fit to be living in. I don't know if you've seen the old movie with Haley Mills. Pollyanna, they've got an orphanage there. That's kind of the way that it works. So a guy that was running the home is actually the preacher at the church there. He went around. Now remember, it's 1920. No, this still, we got to get our mind back in time. He went to different churches looking for money to restore it and to put it there in Canadian, Texas. And one of the elders at Tipton, Oklahoma, a gentleman by the name of Saul Tipton, no relation to the town, said, hey, you put it here and I'll give you the land to build it on. In June of 1924, they went in, and they built the home, and they moved all the kids from there to here, to Tipton. We just celebrated our 100-year anniversary. We celebrated in Easter. We had a big thing there at Tipton. Now, I want to... And I hate it when people that are speaking say these words because, you know, if you don't get anything else out of the lesson today, get this. Well, after you get this, why don't you just get up and leave? And it's over with. What difference does it make what I say? But listen, do you think that Brother and Sister H.B. Beach thought with their decision and their choice in the moment to help children, that we'd be talking about them 100 years later. 100 years later, and over 5,000 children that we have helped and gave them a chance to learn about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, to put Him on in baptism. And, oh yeah, that's why I'm doing that. That's why I'm going to take in orphans in my home. No. No. My point is this. We have to always do good because it's the right thing to do. But you, by the very decision of coming here to Bible class, you have no idea, not a clue, what that means to the person who's watching you that drove by and saw your car here. I don't know you. You don't know me. So I don't know what goes on in this town. You know, but think about that. You helped somebody out today. You helped them out sometime in the last week or so. You have a choice to either help them or not help them. What difference does it make if I'm going to help them or not help them? You never know. You never know how things are going to turn out in the world. You never know about your decisions and what I choose to do and what I choose to do in my life, how they affect other people. Not a clue. I was amazed over the 100-year anniversary. People come back and they'd say, well, you said, and you said, and you did. I did? Okay. I don't remember that. But I do know this. If I'm always trying to strive to do what Scripture tells me to do, I'm probably on the right side and won't really have to remember a lot of stuff I say anyway. But that being said, the home did start there in 1924, June of 24. There was a car dealership in Tipton at that time, and they had Star Cars. It was from Durant Motor Company. Star Cars were only in America for about 10 years. They were the guy Durant was actually one of the founders of General Motors. He broke off and formed this car company. I tell you all that because they let us borrow the cars to go up and get the kids, and then they brought the kids back, and they did that in exchange for advertising in our messenger, our newsletter. Again, keep in mind, 1924, there's no internet, no, there's nothing, so we're still using the print. That's the only way you could get advertising out. And I tell you that also, on March the 30th, when we had Easter weekend, when we had our big celebration, we had a Star Car there on at the home, and the gentleman actually took us for rides around the campus and took us, different things with the Star Car. It was really fascinating. I can tell y'all this, to bring, I think there's 70, 75 kids that they brought at that time. To bring them all, they had to be all scrunched in there. And the way that car is built, I guess we've all grown as a society and as humanity because those things are tiny, just tiny as cars. I asked him, he's from Texas, and I said, hey, you have to get this thing inspected. He said, oh yeah. He said, but there's nothing to inspect. So, I mean, there's nothing. There's just nothing there. So anyway, that was fascinating. It's still fascinating. We did start in 1924. We started out as an orphanage. Tipton Orphans Home is what we were. 1920 and 24, if you'll remember right, a toothache would kill you. My great aunt died of a toothache. There is no penicillin. There is no antibiotics. There's nothing. You could have an ingrown toenail that literally turn into gangrene, and you'll think, oh, come on now. That's what would happen in those days. And we just now, oh, go take a pill. You're all right. A cold turns into pneumonia, you die. You know, now, cold, we'll go to Walmart and get something over the counter, clear it up, good, go. You know, different things like that. We've advanced so much in technology. So we had orphans at that time, and they started off in orphans, and they started off in this one big building at Tipton. And this building is where my office is today, still 100 years old. And so they started off there, and if you've seen the musical or Annie, you know how they had them lined up in little bunk beds? That's the way we did. We had boys in one section, girls in another. We had a man here and a woman in charge of those. They took care of them. It was an orphanage. All in this one big building. I've noticed something over the years. I don't know, maybe y'all have too. Have you ever noticed how much we've spaced out? I mean, their closets back then. What'd you have? Three pair of closets? Yeah, that's all you had back then. You know, I mean, I've got more shoes in my closet than my dad had in his lifetime. Seriously. I mean, he had one pair of shoes a year. That's what he did, grew up with. So we were all inside that one building. All of us were. And we raised the kids, and it went along there for 20, 30 years. And they thought about it. And by the way, the elders of the church at Tipton Church of Christ are still our board of directors, one. Two, I want to always say this. We take no federal or state money whatsoever. 100% supported by donations, by contributions from Churches of Christ and Friends of the Tipton Home. You know, and when I say Friends of the Tipton Home, let me explain that. We're not going to turn down a dollar. I had a lady sitting behind that has an orphanage in Africa, and she was asked, and I'll never forget this response. The brother in Christ asked her, said, if somebody won the lottery, or somebody had a beer operation, or a liquor, or maybe even now a marijuana operation, and they wanted to donate $1 million to your orphanage, what would you do? He said, I'd take that $1 million and put it to work for the Lord, because it's been working for Satan too long. I thought, well, that's a pretty good answer. We don't have any marijuana dispensaries supporting us right now, I'll just tell you. Somebody asked me the other day, Joe, what are you going to do when you get something from that? I said, well, take the money. You know, that's what we'll do, and use it for the Lord. So I always want to tell y'all that we're 100% supportive of that. We don't take any federal or state aid whatsoever. And as a nonprofit in the state of Oklahoma, you are sales tax free. So we don't pay your sales tax. But we are not exempt from property tax. I don't know if y'all knew that or not, but nonprofits have to pay property tax. We also pay, I don't know what it is, somebody correct me on this, on the car, if we buy new vans, there's a big tax we pay then. Is that excise tax? I think it is. Excise. It's big on a new car. Y'all know if you buy a new car. But we bought vans in 2019 and thought, well, that's good, and everything going, oh my. Anyway, another story another day. So they rocked along there until the mid-40s, and then the war was over. And they started thinking, is this the best way to raise children? No. Now, guys, I'm going to say something that I know it's 2024, and I know what I'm about to say is not politically correct. And I know even no matter what side of the political spectrum you fall on, I can promise you there's people on both sides that are guarded by what they say. But the elders said, they still say to this day in 2024, we want our children to be raised by husband and wife, that is male and female. Okay, there's no choosing, and there's no any of the other stuff that we've got going on. That's what we're going to do. Okay, and I don't mind saying it. You know, I don't mind saying it at all. Homosexuality is a sin. It's not a choice. You know, and choosing what gender you are is a bunch of baloney. We raise, and I've had our children, and we have cattle there at the home that we've been blessed to have, and some land there. And I say, guys, what's over there in the west pasture by Jan's house? They know what I'm talking about over there. Well, Joe, that's all the bulls. Yeah, that's all the bulls. Yep. Now, if those bulls don't ever get in with the cows, are we going to have little babies next spring? No. Now, are the bulls going to produce babies? No. Guys, the same way in this world. That's the way God wanted it. That's God's word. That's what it is. You can get beyond God's word. Just common sense and science says that. But anyway, back to the home. Sorry. Got off on that. They looked at it there in 1945. Says, this is the best way to raise children. They said, no. So they started with a half-mile circle around the campus. And they built cottages, dormitories, homes to live in. And then they strive for the next 15 or 20 years to fill those with husband and wife, and the concept of having house parents. Even the idea from the 1965 backwards, you know, backwards into time, we still had some cottages that were being run by a single mom or single dad. We didn't. The concept of that was. It took a while to take over. But anyway, we went in 1966, 65 when my parents got there, my house parents' kid, and we had it all lined up. We had cottages there. We have husband and wife, and that's the way we run the situation. We run it today. We have four cottages with eight kids to the cottage. We have two relief cottages. We have four cottages. They have, like I said, eight. 32 is our capacity. In years past, we've had a lot more kids than that. But I can tell you that when I was there as a child growing up, we had 23 kids in my cottage. We had mom, dad, and then there's five of us. That makes seven of us walls, 16 other kids. I can tell you that. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you are. I don't care how special you are. If you've got 16 kids, you're not doing anything but housing them. You're not healing them. Now, if I have 16, if my wife and I choose to have 16 kids, she would. But if we did, we have four kids. And if we choose to have them, that's a whole different story. I'm not condemning somebody who has a big family. Why? Because I've got a 16-year-old and a 1-year-old. I can kind of balance it out. If I've got eight kids under the kindergarten age, and I'm trying to deal with them, I'm housing them instead of healing them. Okay, so that's kind of the way we went through there in the 1970s and 60s and backwards there, and that's why our numbers were so big. And the judges in the state of Oklahoma would put them in Tipton Home until 1979. 1979, there was a huge scandal in the Department of Human Services. It blew up, and there was a lot of problems in child care. And what happened was, they said after that you had to be, you know, aligned with DHS to take DHS kids, which we don't. We take all private placement kids. Now, with that being said, all of that being said, you know, we still take, our numbers went down to where they are today. We can take eight children to a cottage. Our house parents have 3 weeks on, 1 week off. That's kind of industry standard. They need that to regroup. Our kids then go into house parents' quarters. Relief house parent. They go over there and they take care of them for a week. I'm going to pause and throw a little something in here. You know how the Church of Christ that meets here in Sulphur, Oklahoma is not guided or directed by the church in Ada, Ardmore, or Tipton, right? They're autonomous, okay? Y'all still know other people from other churches, and you might even go there. I'm thinking about going up to Sarah for a gospel meeting this week. You know, you can go and visit those and do things like that, right? I mean, nothing wrong with that. Good, bad, whatever. I'm not saying that, but you are autonomous. Okay, they don't tell you what to do. You don't tell them what to do. In child care, in Churches of Christ child care, you can multiply that times about five. I don't know what goes on at other homes. I don't know how they operate. I don't know anything about them. I hear things one way or the other, but I don't know. I say all that to say this. I knew of one that had cottages that had girls on one end and boys on the other. We don't do that. We don't do that. I can remember when I was a teenager. Sorry, that's just not going to happen. We have boys on one side of the campus. We have girls on the other side of the campus. We have had cottages that were boys here and girls there, but that's and we do that some with relief. But still, I'm just telling you, we keep them separate. Now, they built all those cottages and. Guys, I've been at, back up just a hair, just a little bit, tell you about myself. 1966, I got there, I was 3 years old. That makes me 28. Do the math real quick. That's that new math. We moved, my dad was a school teacher, so he moved away from the home in 78, 79, but we moved to the town of, you ready, Tipton. And so we're still connected a lot of ways. I came back and worked for the home from 90 to 96 and then went away as a stockbroker for Merrill Lynch and Edward Jones. In 2003, I came back and 10 years assistant director, and then I've been the director for 10 years too. So that's a little history about myself. I have four children. One's a youth minister at Tipton. The other one's a youth minister at Faith Village Church of Christ. I got another one that's working on her doctorate at Texas Tech. Her husband is a veterinarian, and the other one is in Colorado Springs, works for Spartan Races. That's just a little bit about myself. So I want to go back to the home. So they built all these cottages in 1940-50, okay? I'm going to tell you something. It's hard as an administrator to do this, but there's a lot of times, guys, you get what you pay for in this old world. And they put some of those cottages up, cinder block and flat roofs. I don't know what any of you do here for a living, other than Brother Stewart. I don't know what you do. Preach. I don't know what anybody else does. You build something with a flat roof, throw shame on you. Those things have flat roofs. We had trouble from day one. They all leaked and everything else. It's just a problem. They tore a lot of those down. They put metal sloping roofs on the three that we left. And they tore a bunch of them down, bought them, built really nice new cottages there in the late 90s. And I think those will live with us forever because they got the right kind of roofs on them. And so that's kind of what we did then in the late 90s. Now, that brings us up today where our buildings and our structures, oh, there's always something to do, but they're in pretty good shape. But let me tell you, about our who we are and what we believe in and kind of our children. One thing about the Tipton Home, it's like any other organization, although I don't think the church quite fits into this as much, but because I think my granddad, who died in 1985, had come back now to a lot of churches and fit right in. If you left the home in 1985, you couldn't do that. Home is constantly in flow. It's constantly in flux. It's constantly changing the way we operate, the kids we take, the who we are. Now, I'm going to go in pretty deep now on about who the kids are. First of all, let me tell you about the home's level of care. We are the lowest level of care in the state of Oklahoma. Lowest level. What does that mean? Our children, we don't have bars on the doors or barbed wire fence to keep our kids in. We do for the cows, but not the kids. We don't have, gated community. Our kids attend the public school. Our kids attend all things public. They're just normal kids. That's all they are. That's the lowest level of child care. As you graduate up, you get into some higher level of care. You get into therapeutic care. You get into, and then your highest level of care in the state of Oklahoma would be, you know what it is, be a juvenile delinquent. That is the highest level of care. There are places in Oklahoma where the child is watched while he takes a shower. My secretaries all get on to me about how I talk. It's a shower. That's what it is. What I said it was. Okay. When they get out, they have to put their arms up, and the individual watching them sprays deodorant on them. They cannot touch it. They also give them their toothbrush with paste on it. Here it is. That's the highest level of care. Those are kids that we're not equipped to care for. So our kids come from varied sources. Like I said, they're all private placement. Now, we struggled mightily with getting kids in the home for a number of years. And let me tell you why. When I'm in trouble as a family, who am I going to call? Who do I know to call? I'm not associated with the church or anything. I'm just, who am I going to call? DHS, right? Department of Human Services. When you get in their system, you're out of our system. We don't want anything to do with that. We tried it for a year and a half. About 15 years ago, it lasted about 6 months as an ultimate disaster. Okay? Now, we are licensed by DHS. We have a lady that comes out 3 times a year and inspects us. We have to have 24 hours of continuing ed. We have to know how to do CPR. We have to have background checks, fingerprints. Every 5 years, we go through that mess, and she comes and does that, and she works with us, and we work with her. We're on the same page. She is very, very, very good and good to the home. That level down there of what I'm talking about is good. When you get above that level in the bureaucracy, and I'm not here to bash them. It's kind of like whatever. I got other things to worry about. When you get above that level, it gets kind of crazy, okay? But those people, and that's our extent of dealing with the home, of DHS. We don't take their kids, don't take their money, but you still have to be licensed by them. And it's not a bad thing to have, background check on people and all that stuff. So, anyway, our kids then, in the state of Oklahoma, baloney, state of America. Let me show you how it goes. You ready? My child is acting up. We'll take her to a doctor. Let's put him on this pill. My child is acting up. Let's put him on another pill, psychotropic drugs. Okay? Still acting up. Can't get it right. Well, maybe you need to put him in an institution for 6 or 7 to 8 weeks or whatever, such as in Lawton, it's called Southwest. It's a mental hospital. Okay? Okay, let's do that. And then they come out of the mental hospital. Well, my child's acting up. Hey, Tipton Home, you got a bed for him? Sorry. That's way too far gone for what we deal with. Now, in 2017, if you want to push it back from 2017, 2018, March of 2018, backwards in the home, that's the kind of child we were trying to deal with. That's the kind of child we were getting the calls on. Guys, you wouldn't believe in the state of Oklahoma, like I say, anywhere. I got a call the other day, 9-year-old boy who's getting out of a mental facility. He is a harm to himself and to this family. He can't be here. And the lady was crying on the phone, said, we don't know what to do. I gave her a couple of phone numbers to call. I mean, that's beyond us, but there's a huge, huge, and I admire people that do it. There's a huge need for that in the state of Oklahoma. He had a 7-year-old boy calling from Mercy Hospital, parent or whoever was charged. He's on 11 psychotropic drugs, 11 drugs, and then they wanted us to take him. No, we can't do that. So we struggled mightily with getting the child that we wanted to help, that we wanted, that was our niche in child care and our niche in far as raising them to be members of the Lord's church. Out of the blue, God, we got this guy claimed to be a Liberian missionary, shows up one day. He said, I've got a bunch of kids. We want to put them in the home. We talked a long time. And so in March of 2018, we took our first load of 13 kids that were Liberian kids. Now, let me give you some history about this situation. The Liberians were brought here in 1996. There was a civil war in Liberia. President Clinton at the time gave them a political amnesty here in America. Every president since has done that. Okay. They moved to Fargo, North Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Des Moines, Iowa, Knoxville, Tennessee, Louisville, Kentucky. They work at meat plants and things like that. Now, the next generation of Liberian kids, in other words, these people moved over and then they had kids. Those kids are the ones we're taking now at the Tipton home. So right now, we have about 30 kids on campus. We only have two that are not Liberian. Now, we still take other children. We still take anybody that comes and fills out a form and fits our criteria, we'll take them. But we've gone from all, and this is a big flip, all but one child being on psychotropic drugs in 2017 to now we only have two kids on one pill a day. That's how far we've flip-flopped. Now, the Liberian culture is such that it doesn't matter. They're going to send their kids away. They're going to send them away. They want them to be raised somewhere that they can know God, but they're not involved in their life. It's a very, very weird, I shouldn't say weird, should I? Very, very different culture than what we know. Okay? So we're trying to help those kids. We went about 5 years, guys, without having a kid graduate. Yeah, that's not something I'm happy about. What do you mean they wouldn't graduate? Because when they turned 18, you can leave in the state of Oklahoma. You're a legal adult. Okay? Now we had 4 kids in college that have graduated and in college. We have one down here at Durant who's playing football, who's in the church there and doing good. We have 2 at WSC and out, just 1 in Lawton. Okay? So it turned over overnight. We are helping these kids. Our main goal is this: to get them to be, you know, profitable people in the world. No. Our main goal is Matthew 16:26. What's it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul. What's it profit us as a children's home if we gain, that child gains the whole world and they lose their soul? So we're trying to get them to be members of the Lord's church, to be functioning members of the Lord's church later on in life. That's our goal. It's always been our goal. But let me say some more here. Understand that the trials and tribulations that we go through. When a child is 0 to 6 years of age, you're a third of the way through raising them. 6 to 12, you're 2/3. 12 to 18, you're done. You got that scale? 0 to 6, 6 to 12, 12 to 18. Third, third, third. That's the way it is. Okay. So 0 to 6 in America, well, they're just babies. You know, it's okay. They'll grow out of it. 6 to 12, oh, come on now. It's just a phase. Grow out of it. 14 years old, 2 o'clock in the morning, your doorbell rings. It's the sheriff. Hey, found your car, son, in a stolen car. Not so funny anymore, is it? Not some kind of phase they're going to grow out anymore, is it? No, no. Now, it's serious. The average age of the child coming tipped at home before 2018 was, you ready? 13. That's not by coincidence. Not by coincidence. And do you know, does anybody here want to guess who put them in the home? Anybody want to guess?
Police.
No. Who said parent? Uh-uh. You're close.
Grandparents.
Okay, grandparent. Which one?
Mother.
Grandmother. Grandmother. And if you don't think that's right, we've got a child right now at Tipton Home was put into the home by his, and it's one of our non-librarians, was put in by his great-grandmother on oxygen, on a wheelchair. And when we took the child, we said, hey, what about the grandmother and grand? Oh, no. They're so messed up on drugs and stuff, they don't care one thing about this kid. That's how many generations we've gone back to make it right. Folks, that's Oklahoma. The Liberian culture, their black kids, has been, they've got their own problems. Their idea of family is, how can I put this, loose? I mean, real loose. Family of five. Let me give you the same. Mom and dad together, they have two kids. Dad goes away to Houston to find a job, comes back and finds his wife pregnant by another man. He gets mad and go get another woman pregnant. Okay? And then they come back. He comes back and has two more kids with her. It's very, very loose. And they don't, they just see women as baby mamas. That's what they are. But they're odd in the way too, because we've got two kids at home that their dads are ministers. Liberian ministers. I don't know. I still try to figure it out. Also, their skin and their hair is so much different than ours. That's been so much of a learning experience for me. So anyway, we got all these kids. We can take kids 5 to 18. I want to tell you something real quick, because you need to know this for your kids and grandkids and everybody else. Before this happened, I have a girl. She lives in the Tulsa area now. I say a girl. She's 21, 22 now. When she was 15 years old. She'd been on vacation with her dad, mom, or her mom, and she came back and said, "Mr. Joe, I'm going home." "Well, why are you going home?" 15-year-old, what do you think? Got to be a boy, right? I mean, got to be a boy. Come on, it's got to be a boy. And she said, no, not a boy. I said, "Well, why are you going home? You know that your situation at home is terrible." And she said this. She said, "I know it is, but I get one of these." Guys, I know the audience I'm looking at here. Y'all have no idea how important this is to our youth. They cannot function in society without it. It's an appendage. If you'll notice, a lot of y'all probably didn't bring it. You left it in your car. Or here's another thing too. A lot of people, 40 and above, it'll be on a pouch. Why? That's where we put tools. We put tools right here. I've got a knife right here. I mean, you know, I've got it right here. It's clipped on. Okay, you know, it's here. Teenager, young person, never. It will be inside their pocket because it's part of them, number one. Number two, if a phone goes off in any public setting, that the person will be 40 years of age or older. It will be. Why? Because the kids' phones are always on silent. Why? How can you hear a phone call? Because you're always looking at it. You don't miss a phone call. Plus, who's going to phone call you? We're going to snap you or text you or something of that nature. Yeah, that's fine too, you know. And there's a whole thing I could get into, and I don't have time, but I'm probably the only one in the world, you know, that thinks that social media and all that things, I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and say it, and I know I'm being recorded, but Scripture says to live a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands. Paul tells Thessalonians that, How am I living a quiet life if you know what I had for breakfast? Or I'm taking pictures of your toes. Just food for thought, again. Now, how do you support the home? Y'all know, it takes money to run it. It takes food donations to run it. It takes that to run it. No. The number one way you can support the home is do what it says in James 5:16. Confess your sins one to another so you may be healed. Not that. Listen. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, King James, availeth much. Other versions use powerful and effective. Pray for our children. But also do this. Pray for our house parents. Okay? Look at this. I don't have to have hands, but I have, there's six of us walls now. Six. Two older brothers, sister, me, younger sister, younger brother. Six of us walls, okay? Six of us. Now, we're all different. Extremely different. I mean, they're all weird, and I'm the only one that turned out right. I mean, you know what I'm saying. But think of it, if you would, if you've got a cottage of boys. I've got four kids of my own. Four. And they're all different. Now, I know where my kids came from. I was there. Now imagine if you've got seven, eight boys in your cottage. Or girls. You don't know where they came from. You know what I'm saying. You don't know what they've done. You get them at 12 years old, 9 years old, 6 years old. Doesn't matter. We can't take them before 5. So we're probably the first third of their life that are just most formative years of their life. You've got to undo or change. And I'm doing that. Well, that's one kid. I've got seven others. So pray for them. Because let me tell you something. I've seen this over and over and over again. I can sit at my office and in my desk and I'm talking to a kid across the way and they're not talking, blah, blah, blah. That's the way they are. I get out and play basketball with them. Guess what? They open up. We're big in everything Tipton has to offer. Football, basketball, volleyball, softball, track. By the way, we like two champions in football. We have 9 state titles. We're big. That's 8 and love football. And we love our FFA program because that's about all we've got going there as far as leadership. But that's a big thing in Tipton. I can tell you what, when I'm feeding that pig, when I'm playing basketball, when I'm doing this, that's when that child connects with me. Goes back to, guys, you think, well, man, that's really good. I need to write that down. You don't have to. God wrote it down for us, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6:6-7, right in there, says, lay these laws upon their hearts when you rise in the morning, when you walk along the road. Let me put you modern version. You lay these laws upon their heart when you feed the pig, when you walk the dog, when you play basketball, you lay these laws upon their heart. Now, I'm not talking about laws that he's talking about there. I'm talking about you lay Christianity. You lay all the responsibility. That's the way you connect with children. So pray for our house parents. They need our prayers. They need our prayers. The other thing too, keep in mind. I was just talking to a board member about this the other day. Not crying or anything, but just saying, you know, I'm sure most of you have had jobs. You've had careers. You go to work. You go home. You go to work. You go home. You go to work, and then you have a weekend or whatever, and that's good. So. You know, guys, it's real easy to put up with somebody for about 8 hours a day. But here, you live with them. And you live with the other problem, the other employee across the street. And you live with them here. It makes it a very, very unique place to work. We're always looking for house parents, though. Always. Always. So keep that in mind. 10:15, my time's up. If you got any questions for me, I'll be glad to answer them. Anyway, and the other thing, too, we live in Tipton, Oklahoma. You have to be going there to get there. You can go anywhere on this earth without going to there. It's off the beaten path. If you look at the map, you'll see what I mean. We're always open. Somebody asked me today, "Did you mean you don't wear a tie to work?" Why would I? Well, your people can. No, no. In the 20 years that I've been inside that office, I might have had 3 or 4 people just show up unexpectedly. You know, they don't. It's not like what people think. You know, people just rushing in and out. There's nobody there. Nobody comes. So, yeah, you're more than welcome to come. Call me ahead of time. I'll show you all around. We love visitors because we don't get them. You know, at Tipton Church of Christ, my brother preaches there anyway. You know, you've heard of the saying, if you're visiting with us, we'd like to invite you back at any opportunity that you might have. We don't say that. We say, if you're visiting with us, stay. We need you. So anyway, thank you for letting me be here this morning.
Do you go from down here up there?
Up there.
We go all the way up there, huh?
Yeah.